All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. Week 3 edition brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. I am Bobby Fenton. Going back at it again late night this week on my back porch, and I love being back here. I had a great time doing last week's show, so I think I might start making this a regular thing, but wanted to get the show out a little earlier in the day today. It didn't happen, and so we're doing a little Friday edition here, and of course a late night edition. In fact, I'm watching the Thursday night game right now as I'm doing this. I got the Jags and the Titans going, plus I got this Houston-Tulane game. It's getting pretty good, so by the time you all hear this, those games will be over, but right now they're in progress, both in the fourth quarter. And of course, we've got a Bucks game on Sunday, 4:05 p.m. as the New York Giants come to town to take on the Bucks, and a chance for the Bucks to get ahead of things in the standings, a winning record on the line if they can get the win to go 2-1. And of course, a lot of road games, a lot of trips, and a long time away from home coming up after this one. So you want to get this one, especially against a team who appears to be weaker, and the Giants. Bucks are a 6.5-point favorite. First things first, the Free Stretch is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, where, as always, they are proud to announce the nationwide lifetime warranty on any vehicle you buy, pre-owned, used, new, from Bill Curry Ford. This is unlimited years. Unlimited miles, okay? This is no matter what you buy, have problems down the road, take it back into Bill Curry Ford, they will take care of it. And this isn't anything like some, you know, rinky-dink quote-unquote warranty. The engine, transmission, drive axle assemblies, all internally lubricated parts for both 2-4 all-wheel drives, whatever they are, seals, gaskets, these things are covered under this warranty. And it isn't just the first year, as long as you're the owner of the car. 3, 4, 5 years down the road, problems, bring in Bill Curry Ford, okay? That's not something you'll find anywhere else. They are doing that. They have been doing that. Check out the website, BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E, if you want to check it out. And you can see all the inventory there. And then there's even more on the lot if you go in person a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, where they've been serving the Tampa area for almost 60 years. Talk to Sean Sullivan, the GM. Mention me. Mention the Free Stretch. Mention Joe Bucks Fan. You'll get the Joe Bucks Fan discount on top of the already transparent online pricing. Again, BillCurryFord.com. Thanks to them. And I'll actually be going there tomorrow myself to get a little service done. So it's not just me saying this stuff. I go get taken care of. You need to go do the same thing as well. The Bucks are hopefully going to take care of the Giants on Sunday. And like I was saying, you know, the big news this week is obviously Daniel Jones named the starter for the Giants. So he's the guy now. And this is something that, you know, everybody perks up. Ooh, Bucks get to face not just a rookie quarterback, but a quarterback making his first ever start in the NFL. And I don't know what's going to happen, obviously. Daniel Jones, we don't have anything to go on except the preseason. And he looked pretty okay in the preseason. But I'll say this just about this news. It increases, not decreases, it increases the Giants' chances of winning the game. They're not just doing this move for this week. I mean, once you make a move like this, that's it. Like, you don't just go back. Bruce Arians even said that, you know. So it's a long-term type move, but it also, you know, with Daniel Jones, he's an unknown. So there's a floor, there's a ceiling. We don't know what either of them are. With Eli, who's incredibly immobile at this point, and that's the biggest thing. I think Daniel Jones is a much more mobile quarterback than Eli Manning is, and that's something that if Eli had started the game, I still feel good about the game. But again, Daniel Jones, for all we know, could light it up. If Eli was starting the game, I would feel even that much more confident, which is why he's not starting the game, obviously. And if you look at the Bucs defense and what they've been able to do, I even heard a few murmurs this week in the past couple days when this news got announced. Oh, they're going to ease him in with Tampa Bay. It's a good spot for him to try and make the start. You know, let him get a chance against a team like that. And I might not have disagreed with that in past years. I mean, certainly the Bucs defense has been nothing to write home about. But hey, the past couple weeks so far, this new Todd Bowles defense, okay? Go ask Cam Newton about easing in, all right? Go call him on the phone if you think that the Giants are easing Daniel Jones in with the Bucs defense. It might take Cam a little extra time to get to the phone if you call him because he's in the tub. He's probably not going to play this week. I'm not celebrating the fact that the Bucs hurt somebody, and he hurt his foot. I mean, not necessarily because of the Bucs, but my point is, you saw that game Thursday night, all right? You saw, and by the way, the Bucks rank right now, it's only two games, I get it, but they rank fourth in the league in pass rush win rate on passing down. 60% of the time, they're getting pressure on the quarterback on those downs. That's fourth in the NFL, okay? And again, like I said, ask Cam, who they thumped last week. And I'm not saying Daniel Jones isn't going to have any success. I have no idea what's going to happen on Sunday, but this notion that, oh, they're going to ease him in against the Bucks, I hope that somehow didn't go unnoticed over at One Buck Place. And maybe they don't care about that type of stuff, or maybe they do. I only saw it from a few media people on Twitter, and nobody of any major consequence or anything like that. But I'm always looking for stuff to give myself an attitude. I'm sure if you're an actual player, you're doing the same thing. And so you look at this game, and yeah, the Bucks defense is going to have a chance to face a rookie quarterback. Now, as far as the Bucks go, and this is, again, not really applicable to this season, but overall, if you look at the Bucks, they have faced rookie quarterbacks, not making their first ever start, just rookie quarterbacks in general, 15 times since 2011. They're 3-12, which I did a double take when I read that. Even knowing how the Bucks past 7-8 years have gone, I was still surprised at how bad that was. Now, Bruce Arians, for his part, and this might be more applicable for this game, Bruce Arians, going back to when he was with the Cardinals and the Colts, 6-0 against rookie quarterbacks. Whatever you want to take that for what it's worth, that's what you got. But this is one of those games for the Bucs as we get ready for Sunday. It's an if you are what you say you are game. And I use that term sometimes. There's an old, I don't know what to call it, a rap song or what it is, but it's a Lupe Fiasco. And I think the name of the song is, I can't remember what the actual official title of the song is, but the catchy hook is, if you are what you say you are, have no fear. And this is one of those games. I mean, look, you all know what the schedule looks like, okay? They got to go to the Rams after this. They got to go to London after this. They got to go back for even more road games. I mean, what is it, 7 weeks between this game and the next time they'll play a home game in November, right? So you've got a Giants team who's given up an average of 31.5 points a game in their first two games, who everybody's had offensive success against. You've got yourselves as a home favorite of almost a touchdown. It might be a touchdown by the time the game starts. I can't remember the last time the Bucks, and maybe it's sooner than I remember, but I can't remember the last time the Bucks were favored by a touchdown or more, home, road, anything. And then, yeah, like I was saying, at Los Angeles, at New Orleans, London, bye week, at Tennessee, at Seattle. You know, you need to get this one and be 2-1 going into that stretch. And if you can somehow get through the first half of games at 4-4, then the schedule in the second half isn't that bad. And you got not only a lot of home games, but, I mean, when people talk about how tough this Bucks schedule is, the bulk of that is a result of these few games after this weekend, that 7-week stretch. And so if they can get through it all, even at 4-4, I'm not trying to be look-ahead guy and let's go down the list of what they're going to win, what they're going to lose. I have no idea. But it's not a must-win game, but you really need to win this game. This is a team you're supposed to beat if, again, you are what you say you are, if they are what we think they are. And I'd rather the Giants actually have a win and be 1-1. You hate having them come in here 0-2, but, you know, this is a defense. They don't defend the pass real well. They don't defend anything real well. It's not a good defense. The Bucs should eat on Sunday, and they will try to do that. As for some news from this past week, and I know we already had a show after the Carolina game on Thursday, but Shaq Barrett, NFC Defensive Player of the Week, congrats to him, 3 sacks. The Bucs had gone longer than all but 2 teams in the NFL without having a player of the week like that. Lavonte David in 2015 was the last one, and with 3 sacks, it seemed like a no-brainer, and Barrett gets that award. Good for him. Pro Football Focus, if you're a numbers person, you actually are into that whole thing. They do individual game grades for everybody who plays, and actually, Shaq Barrett didn't make their top 5. They graded the game out, and they go frame by frame, snap by snap, player by player, and they can grade out performances. The number one for the Carolina game was Vita Vea. And I tweeted about that during the game. I know he didn't have as many flash plays, obviously 3 sacks, but if you watch, which what Pro Football Focus does, if you watch down by down, I mean, Vita Vea is occupying 2 guys, sometimes 2.5 guys. Another guy's kind of keeping an eye on things. And they not only is he occupying two guys, he and Sue were actually getting push being outnumbered up there. That opens up a lot for the guys outside to make plays. And I'm not saying Shaq Barrett was just lucky. I mean, he made plays. But I could totally see why Vita Vea graded out so well. I was really impressed with him. And I think he's a monster. If he stays healthy, which is the biggest thing with him, I mean, the Bucks really do have something there with he and Sue side by side. Anthony Nelson, it might surprise you, was rated second. And then Jordan Whitehead, who is continuing to impress. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I saw, if you watch the All-22, even in the All-22, sometimes he's almost off the camera frame and there's a handoff. And before the guy gets a yard or two beyond the line of scrimmage, Jordan Whitehead's already hit him, coming from almost like, you know, way off of the sideline. I mean, he's just reading run and boom, just a hat to the football. So he had a really good game there. Carlton Davis was fourth and Levante David was fifth. So you don't even have Shaq Barrett in the top five. Vernon Hargreaves had a million tackles. He didn't grade in the top five. They both had good games. I'm not saying they didn't. But looking at what they were able to do last Thursday and then seeing the opponent they have coming in here, I mean, you know, Daniel Jones, like I said, he's an unknown. I wouldn't get too big for my britches here, so to speak. I'd rather than be facing Eli just because, again, we know what Eli is and it's not much at this point. And if this is the end for Eli, and I'm not going to do a whole thing, I don't care. He doesn't really factor for the Bucs now. He's not playing in the game barring an injury to Daniel Jones. But the whole Hall of Fame thing, I mean, my God, really? Like, I don't see that at all. I know people have been going back and forth about it. And, I mean, football's a team game. Two Super Bowls, obviously, you can't argue with it, but he won those on the coattails of elite defenses. As a quarterback, has he ever felt like, oh, man, Eli, man, he's just a guy. Like, and longevity counts for something. I guess that's probably the biggest strength he has is longevity. Because if you play as a starter for as long as he did, you must be pretty good. But I don't get the feeling of a Hall of Fame quarterback when I think about Eli Manning. And I know there's numbers and things they can look at. And I don't mean passing yards and all that crap. I mean actual telling numbers that go into a little more detail and things like DVOA and stuff like that. I don't see it. But anyway, not important as we got other things to worry about. As far as the injury front goes for the Bucks, not terrible. They're actually pretty healthy. Devin White, though, has not practiced all week. He's not going to play. It's going to be Kevin Minter starting in his spot. And honestly, and I hate to say it, right now that doesn't look like that much of a difference to me. And it's way too early. I'm not calling anything on Devin White yet. I mean, at least a year or two here. But he didn't make much of an impact in the preseason. Hadn't done much, and then he got hurt in the game early in the season there. So Minter, I thought, did a hell of a job on Tuesday night. And I think they're just fine there. Brashad Perriman, the other one, was limited. He did practice, just not full blast. So we'll see about him. Four Bucks just did not practice and aren't going to play. And Devin White was one of those. Of course, Blaine Gabbert still continues to be out. And Ryan Griffin's backing up Jameis Winston. Devontae Bonjamel-Dean, the other two. So that's where we're at on injuries as we get ready for this game. Sunday, 4 p.m., Raymond James Stadium, which, by the way, Rondi Barber going into the Ring of Honor. There's a lot to recommend this one. Tiki's doing the game for Fox, and he'll be there for the ceremony as well. Going to be pretty fun. And if you're looking to get some tickets, they are still available. I'm just saying. Email me if you want to, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. That's bobbygameday@yahoo.com on Twitter. You can get me, as always, at bobbygameday. I've still got the fridge schedule. It's not too late. I've only played two games out of 16. You want a fridge schedule? Like I've been telling you guys, color logos, 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, all the important dates. I do it up real nice and crisp and clean. I can send you the file. Just email me again, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. I'll get it to you. You can print it out, put it up in your cubicle, put it up on your fridge, laminate it if you want to, whatever it is you want to do. So a few things just happened just now while I was talking about the Bucks. I've got the college game, Tulane and Houston on, and I've been watching the Thursday night game with the Jags and the Titans. And my God, the Titans, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people probably say the same thing about us, but the Titans are a boring team. Like, that, they're a team that just exists in a vacuum for me where they're on Thursday night football sometimes, otherwise I have no idea they even exist. But anyway, this Thursday Jags-Titans game has become like an annual rite of passage. So, Jacksonville up 20-7. They're on the goal line. Field goal makes it 23-7. They go for it on fourth and goal from like the 4. I'm always Mr. Hey, pro, go for it. The numbers say go for it. Fortune favors the bold almost always. In this case, I actually thought they should have kicked the field goal, make it 16-point game. Then you've got, what, 3.5 minutes for a team to go down there, score, get a two, get the ball back, score, get a two again. Even that just guarantees you overtime. I felt like that would have effectively ended the game, a field goal. But they went for the outright three-score lead. They didn't get it. So anyway, what did the Titans do? Again, 3.5 minutes to go. I think they had one timeout at the time. And this applies to the Bucs, so follow me on this, because the Bucs do this sometimes, although not as egregiously as the Titans. First and 10 from like your own 4-yard line. You need 2 touchdowns to win the game. You got under 3.5 minutes, and you don't have enough timeouts to kick off and give the ball to the Jags again. Tennessee handed the ball off on first down. Just handed it off. And the guy got like 3 yards or whatever and got tackled. And the clock's running this whole time, and they hurried up a little bit. I mean, why on God's green earth are you running the ball on first down there at all? And they did it all night. There was a sequence earlier where they ran the ball on like 4 consecutive first downs, and Warren Sharp tweeted about it. First and 10, no yards. Next time they did it, first and 10, they ran again. 2 yards. First and 10, they ran again. The next time it happened, 1 yard. And then a fourth time, first and 10, they ran, lost a yard. Second and 10, second and 8, second and 9, second and 11. I mean, that's crazy. Like, what? And then they did it again, down 2 touchdowns with 96 yards of field to go in 3.5 minutes. It's like it's first down. We have to hand it off. I mean, Mike Vrabel, Jesus, that's really bad. And I'm saying that because if I'm going to nitpick the Bucs through the first couple weeks, and against Carolina especially, even though they won the game, too much running on first down. I mean, I'm not saying you have to be doing the same thing, pass every single first down, although honestly, if you did, it'd be fine. But you're really putting yourself behind the eight ball, and you know, we don't have the type of dominant running game where you're going to gash people and it's going to be 2nd and 3. The Bucs did against Carolina, 2nd and 7, 2nd and 9, 2nd and 8, 2nd and 10. You're just donating it. I call it a dad play. D-A-D, donate a down. Let's just give them a down. Let's play 3 down ball instead of 4 down ball, or really 2 down ball. Why do you want to be in 2nd and 8, 2nd and 9? Throw the damn ball. If it's incomplete, you're really not that much worse off than you would have been if you'd run the ball anyway with 2-3 yards a pop. And the Bucs do it. That's one thing I want to see better this game, especially against the Giants with the way their pass defense is. Throw the damn ball on first down. You're hurting your own quarterback. You're putting your whole offense behind the eight ball. It bogs down drives. You know, they say nothing bogs down a drive like a holding penalty, which is true. And actually, Chris Collinsworth, as an aside, mentioned this on Sunday night during that Eagles Falcons thriller that came down to the final possession. And he said, you know, I'm really tired of these holding penalties, which are up, by the way, in a big way. And if you watch the Thursday night game, you know that. He said, I'm really tired of these holding penalties, just derailing these drives. Holding needs to be a 5-yard penalty. He's absolutely right about that. It's ridiculous that holding is a 10-yard penalty. It's just way too penal. 5 yards would be just fine. I'm not saying I want to encourage holding, but I think it'd still be discouraged if it's a penalty at all. 5 yards is fine. These 10-yard penalties. And while I'm at it, I would make all 15-yard penalties 10-yard penalties. There would be no 15-yard penalties. But anyway, my point is, you know, that derails a drive. Running the ball on first down derails drives. Like, stop running the damn ball on first down so much. I can't believe what the Titans did tonight was malpractice. And again, I'm recording this on Thursday night. And I've seen that. I think the Bucs have been close to 60% run rate on first down so far this year. That's way too high. That needs to be reversed. So that's something I'll be keeping an eye on. On Sunday when they play the Giants. But anyway, you'll be shocked to hear, and you know by now the Titans didn't score anything, even the first touchdown, and the Jags won 20-7 in what was a terrible game. And I'll tell you what, you know, especially the first half, I think there were 15 accepted penalties, or was it 13, something like that in the first half, and the usual chorus of people comes out of the woodwork talking about how crappy this all is, how much the game sucks, and they're not wrong, okay? But Albert Breer, who I follow, you know, he's an NFL reporter. He retweeted somebody named Joe Fortenbaugh, who I don't know. But Joe Fortenbaugh's tweet was spot on. He tweeted during the first half of the game. And I've talked to you guys about this before on this show. February through September, talk about missing football. Count the weeks until the start of football. Beginning of September, celebrate the return of football. Mid-September through February, complain about football with specific emphasis on officiating. February through September. Once again, talk about missing football, count weeks until start of football. We do this every year. We complain about how crappy these Thursday night games are, how sloppy they are. Some people I'll even see on Twitter, my God, get rid of Thursday night football. I don't know why the league insists upon it. Are you kidding me? Like, are you you want to get rid of that? Are you kidding me? That game tonight was terrible, okay? It was an absolute abomination. It was toward the bottom end of what you're going to see in the NFL product, okay? And I was so damn happy it was on tonight. I loved every minute of it. And not just while it was on, all day today, too. I was happy even knowing it was on tonight. I don't care how bad it is. Y'all have real short memories out there of what it was like just a month ago. Hell, what it was like just a day ago. Tuesdays and Wednesdays are terrible. And again, maybe I say all the time, maybe I need to get a life. Maybe I need more going on in my life. But those two bridge days, because then Thursday, you got Thursday night football. Friday, you've got high school football, which I enjoy. And there's always a few college games on TV. Of course, Saturday and Sunday are awesome. And then Monday, you got Monday night football. But Tuesday and Wednesday just suck ass. And you all complain about Thursday night football, no matter how bad it is. Like I said, if it's got uniforms, painted end zones, referees, a score, and a point spread, you got something. I don't care how bad it is. And we've got that in these games. And then the college game tonight, and again, this just happened while I was talking on the show right now. Tulane and Houston, the college game was way better than the NFL game tonight, which happens frequently. But either way, I was happy to have both of them. So Houston was beating Tulane 28-7. And then Tulane came all the way back to tie the game, or actually take a lead, 31-28. And then Houston tied the game 31-31. So what happened at the end? There was like 14 seconds left after Houston tied the game. They kicked off to Tulane. Not enough time to do anything. So Tulane lines up in the victory formation, take a knee, send it to overtime. But they fake taking the knee, and the quarterback actually handed it off to a guy. And he ran around the end and got like 20 yards. And so now there was actually a little bit of time. There was like 13 seconds. Maybe they get into field goal range. Next play, they hit a 53-yard touchdown and win. It was pandemonium at Yuleman Stadium in New Orleans, which I've been to. And it was all, it was crazy. I mean, and they got like, I think, two celebration penalties. The whole bench cleared when they scored this touchdown on a fake, I mean, a two-play sequence, fake kneel down, end around, and then a 53-yard where they're just trying to get into field goal range, and the guy like bounced off two tacklers and took it all the way in. Incredible. It's, I can't tell you how happy I am just for it to be this time of year. And even right now as I'm sitting on my back porch, again, it's almost midnight. It's 11:45 at night on this Thursday night as I record this show. And I don't know, you know, we got listeners all over. A lot of you are in the Bay Area, but some of you guys are in other places around the country and even globally. I know we got some people in the UK and England, which is awesome, and some other places. But if you're in the Tampa Bay Area, today was a little bit autumnal, wasn't it? I thought it was pretty nice. And right now, my back porch, I think the dew point's down in the 60s now. I think we're getting there. And it's not gonna, it never happens overnight. The first time it cracks like this, like it did today, everybody goes out, they throw on the scarves, they throw on the boots, they want to go pumpkin spice latte, full bore, and they don't want to look back. You know how it is. You get a day like this, but then it swings back again for a week or two where it's 90 and the humidity's back up, the dew points are back up in the 70s and 80s. Then you get another week or so where maybe it feels like, oh, it's turning for sure. And it is, but it's not there yet. Then it goes back to just searing heat. And then sometime Halloweenish, maybe a little later, you finally can say every day is going to be better than the last day. So we're not there yet, but mark it down. September 19th was the first time this year that I felt a turn. And you feel that turn in the air. You know you got football going on. I'm so happy. I really, you know, the Bucs having coming off a win and playing a winnable game on Sunday just makes it all the better. But I'll tell you what, man. But anyway, as far as that Thursday night game goes, like I said, still football. Yeah, the penalties suck. There were a million penalties in the first half. Tom Brady even tweeted about it, saying, the penalties are too much. This sucks. I'm not watching this anymore. And it was Sean Hockley, Ed Hockley's son, Sean Hockley's crew doing the game. They are penalty happy. Like last year, they were one of the leading callers of penalties. But overall this year, you know, there is a point of emphasis on holding. And the reason for that is, some of the coaches were saying, you know, some of these really bad teams, they just hold every down. Some of these linemen just grab a linebacker coming through. And they said they were tired of it cluttering the game up. So they wanted to go ahead and do something about it. So they've done the infamous point of emphasis this year, which means that referees, even though the rule hasn't changed, have been specifically advised to look for certain things more closely. And as a result, through the first 2 weeks and now through this Thursday night game as well, holding penalties are up 66%, two-thirds increased over what they were last season. And you know what? People don't want to watch that, I know. I don't want to watch all the penalties. But I don't like holding. You shouldn't be allowed to hold. I hope they crack down on it. It's worth it in the long run. Holding sucks. Don't hold. You know, sometimes people get mad at the referees for throwing too many flags. Sometimes these players break the damn rules too much. Don't hold. You can't hold. So I think you'll see a reduction as the year goes on, both one, because players are having this now beaten out of them, basically, by all the penalties that are getting called. And it's almost like electroshock therapy. Eventually, you're going to stop doing it. And two, I think that the referees and the league wants to make its point early on. And then I wouldn't even be surprised if the referees are instructed after, you know, whatever week you want to say, 8, 9, 10, hey, you can back it off a little bit now. We've made our point. I get it. You know, I could see that too. So, yeah, was that any fun to watch? Do we like holding penalties every other down? No, Tom Brady doesn't like it. I don't like it. You don't like it. But again, necessary evil. And really, can you do much worse with a Jags-Titans game anyway? I mean, you might as well make this like a test case if you're going to do stuff like that. Because, again, especially do it on a night when it's the only game on, and then I'm not going to complain as much because I'm just happy football's on in general. BobbyGameDay at yahoo.com is the email address. BobbyGameDay at yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can get me at BobbyGameDay. Oh, I never even mentioned Jalen Ramsey. Speaking of the Jaguars, that was the whole thing this week. He wants out. He's pissed off. Every Bucks fan in America, every Bucks fan on Twitter, oh my God, we got to get him. And y'all know it's not happening. I don't think I have to tell you guys it's not happening. Now, some of you are not happy it's not happening, but even the ones who really want it to happen, I think you all know the Bucks aren't going to do that. They've invested so heavily in the secondary over the past few drafts. And one, they're not going to invest even more as good as Jalen Ramsey is. Two, and this might sound crazy, it's only been 2 weeks, but they actually like what they're seeing. They like their guys right now. And three, Jalen Ramsey's going to need a contract extension for $16 million a year or something like that. So my good friend Thomas Bassinger, who some of you like and some of you don't, but my good friend Thomas Bassinger, he wrote out a great case for this. If you follow him on Twitter or just go to the Tampa Bay Times article, you know, in a vacuum, like, do you want a player like Jalen Ramsey, yes or no? Of course, yes. I mean, he's one of the best defensive players in the league. Anybody wants that, but it's not a vacuum. There are circumstances. One, he's a headache. Two, again, you're not just trading for him. You're trading for him and extending him. Either one would be fine if you were just going to trade for him at a stable existing contract, or if you already had him and you had to extend his contract, either one of those things would be fine. But to do both, no. And quite honestly, the Bucks have so many other needs. You know, they need, you can't give up, and I know that it won't end up being two number ones probably, but you can't give up ones and two. The Bucks need that. Listen, I'm going to say this right now, all right? I know I'm Mr. Optimistic too often, although I was kind of down on the Bucks in the offseason, and it's only been two games. I know how long it's been since they've done anything. It's been, well, since they won a playoff game. It's been the Super Bowl itself, which is 17 years now. Since they've even been to the playoffs, it's 2007, which is 12 years now. And I know nobody wants to think about anything long-term when it's already been long-term, but this is a project, and I think that the early returns are good, that could take a couple years, but I think they're onto something maybe, all right? And as good as Jalen Ramsey is, I would not sacrifice what it would take to get him. Especially given all those things. And the Bucks aren't going to do it. I mean, we already know they're not going to do it, but I'm just telling you why I wouldn't do it. Not that I have to make the case, because it's just simply not an option, in my opinion, for the Buccaneers. But either way, that was just another thing that the Thursday night game made me think of. Oh, and as far as the Jacksonville quarterback, Gardner Minshew, who's cool, I like him. Love his vibe, love his attitude. I can't believe how many people are acting like this is the first time in their life they've ever seen a freaking mustache. Whether you're watching the telecast, whether you're reading about it on the internet, Twitter, whatever, I mean, oh my God, people are just, the mustache, yes, he has a mustache, okay, we get it, mustaches aren't as common as they used to be in the 80s and 70s. A young 20-something-year-old male has one now. Hey, that's great. That's dynamite, really. That's it, though. Like, and again, I like this guy. His Twitter picture is a picture of him driving like a convertible next to like a leopard or something. He's got a great attitude, and he looks pretty good. I mean, I'm actually pretty impressed with him, and he's got one of the best downfield balls that I've seen so far. But my God, people have mustaches. Like, it is a thing. It's not like the first time you've ever seen one. But people can't get enough of it. That's all I want to talk about with this guy. There are two guys, however, that I would like to see comment on this game, and we won't get the chance this week since it was a Thursday night game, but a lot of you may have seen this. This is really good news. NFL Primetime is back. ESPN has been thinking about, y'all know NFL Primetime. I mean, especially if you're my, I'm 39. Like, in the 90s, like, growing up, like, that was to the show. Like, I still get goosebumps thinking about some of those old Bucks games, not just the games themselves, but then going home later that night and watching the highlights of it on NFL Primetime, some of those great Bucks wins, and there weren't many of them back then. But, when NBC took over Sunday Night Football, they took with it the rights to the highlights on Sunday nights. So what was that, like mid-2005, 2006, something like that. So they basically shut down NFL Primetime because NBC did the highlights on their halftime show, and they are terrible. I mean, NBC does like this token, one or two plays per game. And I'll say this much. As a football fan, even though there's red zone available, even though there's all these different things, there's Sunday Ticket if you have that, there's a million different ways you can stream any game you want online, legally, maybe not so much, but illegally. It's very easy to do. I do it all the time when I want to see a game. And yet, NFL Primetime was, one, I loved the show because I loved the show, but two, I felt more in touch with the league back then, even in this day and age. Again, all this media that's available to people that's never been available to us before, I feel less in touch with the league nowadays because usually I only see the Bucks game and the Sunday night game and whatever the national game is, like in the 4 p.m. slot sometime. And the highlights are terrible. Whereas if you watch just a simple hour-long episode of Primetime on Sunday nights, which I always did, you felt like you saw every single game in the league. You felt like you had a feel for it. And I have no feel now. Like, the NBC highlights suck. And so I really miss that. And, a lot of people, say what you want about Chris Berman, and a lot of people love him, a lot of people, his shtick wore thin a long time ago, but him and Tom Jackson on NFL Primetime was goddamn TV poetry, okay? And so when that show ended, it was a big loss. And recently, and I was reading about this earlier, Berman had said, I want to get back in this. He'd gone to his people at ESPN and said, look, I know what the rules are as far as NBC owning the rights. Is there any way we can get around it? And the way they figured they could get around it is that they can make the show available only digitally. So it's not on ESPN. It's on ESPN Plus. You have to watch it online. I'm still not sure how to do it. I'm going to figure it out on Sunday night. Because again, I'm not a streaming type. I like to take my TV remote, click the button, and watch what's on my TV. I don't put things on the internet on my TV. I know some people do that like it's nothing. That ain't my thing. But I'll figure it out for this. And they said they're going to keep, a lot of times they're always talking about innovation. They said, nope, Berman. They called back Tom Jackson, who already retired a few years ago. Asked him, are you back? What are you going to do? He said, I'm in. I'll do it. So he's back. The music, oh my God, the music. NFL Primetime, let me tell you something. If you're ever like late to a meeting or something and you're driving in your car, I'm serious about this. Put on the old NFL Primetime clips of just their music, and they're using the same exact ones that they used to play as the bed to the highlights, and you will just, you'll get to where you're going in two-thirds of the time you usually do. It's just energy, man. What's the one with the French? Here, I got it right here. I had so many favorites, but I think my favorite one was the French horns. Oh, yeah. Tell me you're not ready to go out to Lambeau Field for some highlights of Bucks Packers, the Bay of Pigs, or something like that, just hearing this. I'm just going to let it play for a minute. Are you kidding me? And this is coming back? Honestly, I should just let this play underneath the whole show. I'll bet you that my podcast would just be improved. Some of you are probably nodding. But I'll bet you the podcast would be improved if I just let this play the entire time I'm talking. I should do it one week just as an experiment. God, I love this stuff. Just inject this into my veins. What was another one? Let me see here. Oh, yeah, I love this one, too. There's like four or five of them I really liked. And you knew it was a big game. Like, especially like late in the season, like December. Especially when the Bucks got better and they'd be playing a big game in Chicago or Green Bay or somewhere. And Tommy and Berman are laying down the highlights. Whew! I'm getting goosebumps right now. I gotta stop. So anyway, that is back. And I'll tell you what, we all need to be a part of it. I'm going to figure out how to do it. I don't know what ESPN Plus even is. I've heard of it. But I'll figure it out by Sunday night. And hopefully, after the Bucks-Giants game, I'll be dying to watch. I remember when the Bucks would win, it was always extra special. Like, you couldn't wait to go home and watch the highlights, whether you went to the game or whether you weren't there. It didn't even matter if you saw the game on TV already. You wanted to see how it would look on NFL primetime. So very excited for that coming back. I want to say one more thing before I wrap it up, and we'll be back on a normal schedule next week. But, and this is not Bucks related, this is a Bucks show. The Tampa Bay Rays, and as of right now, they're tied for the second wild card with Cleveland. They may make the playoffs, they not, may not. They're 90-63 with 9 games to go, so they're going to win roughly anywhere from probably 93, 94 to 96, 97 games, depending on how well this week goes. Somewhere in the mid-90s, whatever it ends up being. Point of it is, they already won their 90th game. And if you're not, I understand, I'm not going to get into a whole thing about the attendance and all that, but if you haven't taken the time to truly appreciate what this organization has done since 2008, this is the seventh time in 12 seasons, going back to that 2008 season when it all started to turn around and they went to the World Series and all that. This is the seventh time in 12 years that they have won 90 games, okay? There are only three teams in Major League Baseball who have done that. Besides the Rays, it's the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Dodgers. Three of the biggest boys, three of the heaviest hitters, three of the most historically well-known and blue-blooded of them all, and then there's the Rays. Four teams have done it, those three and the Rays. This franchise is amazing, okay? And say what you want, people bitch and bitch and bitch. They bitch about Stu Sternberg, and sometimes rightfully so. They bitch about Kevin Cash, even though all he's done is win. They've already won 90 games. They're going to win a few more. No organization in baseball could do what the Rays do except the Rays. They're the only ones who have done it. The Yankees and Red Sox and Dodgers are supposed to do it. But all the other teams that have been trying to do what the Rays, and the Rays do it with less than any of them, okay? And whatever you think, maybe you think Stu Sternberg's pinching penny, but that's not what I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about the baseball people they have there. Absolutely outstanding. And that will be true. They might miss the playoffs. I mean, they might win 94, 95 games and still not get in. You know, it's going to be tight. Oakland's probably in. Cleveland and the Rays are dead heat right now. So I don't know what's going to happen. But I hope they make the wild card game. I mean, that'd be awesome. But either way, what they have done deserve at least a little bit of mention here on the free stretch. I'm going back to my roots as a talk show host where I talked about all the Tampa teams, not just the Bucks. I wanted to say something about that tonight. So anyway, to recap, Bucks-Giants 4 o'clock or 4:05 on Sunday, and it's the last time they'll be at home for almost 2 months, so it's a great chance. If you want to go out to the game in person, go for it. Love the 4 o'clock kickoffs. They're always fun. You'll see Ronde Barber go into the Ring of Honor, as well as hopefully a Bucks win. Daniel Jones, again, the rookie, starting not just as a rookie, his first ever game, though, and it will come against the Bucks. And again, the Bucks 3-12 since 2011 against rookie quarterbacks in general. Bruce Arians, though, 6-0, going back to the Cardinals and the Colts against them as well. I would have liked to have seen Eli for one more week. I think the Bucks would have had a better chance, but I still think this is a game, like I said at the top of the show, this is an if you are what you say you are game. You should be able to get a rookie quarterback. You got a team whose defense is atrocious. You got an offense that hasn't quite clicked just yet, but has improved a little bit, looked better. And this is where you should break out. You need to be 2-1 going into what they're facing after this game. And you don't want you. I mean, you, again, I'm not saying anything's a must win in week 3, but you really can't leave this on the table. And I'm trying, you know, I do one of those survivor pools, which I know a lot of you probably do too, where you have to pick one game a week and get it right. And if you do, you advance. And if your team that you pick loses, then you're out. And you can only use each team once. You know, there's two 20-plus point spreads on the board this week. There's the Patriots and the Jets, and there's the Dolphins and the Cowboys. Those would be easy to pick. I'm actually thinking about taking the Bucks here in a put-up-or-shut-up type game. And I'll probably, I mean, if there's a quicker recipe for me hating myself than one, picking the Bucks in the survivor pool, having me get kicked out of the survivor pool and the Bucks losing a completely winnable game all at the same time. I mean, I have no business doing it. I try to avoid ever taking the Bucks in these types of things, but I'm tempted to do it. And you ought to be begging right now that I don't, just because I don't put the mojo on them. But I have to admit right now, I'm actually thinking about it. So anyway, email me if you want to. One more time, always love getting your emails, whether you want a fridge schedule or you just have something to say. It's BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. On Twitter, it's @BobbyGameDay. I want to thank all of our friends at Bill Curry Ford for sponsoring the show. As always, again, home with a lifetime warranty. I want to thank the Joes for putting this show on the air, getting me this platform in front of you guys on what is the best place on the internet for Bucks coverage anywhere. And the website, I mean, I think since I started recording here at 11 o'clock at night, they've done like 15 new articles or something like that. But either way, thanks to them, and thanks to all of you for listening. Have a fun weekend, have a safe weekend. Like I said, use these games as an excuse to get together with friends, whether you're going or tailgating, or whether you're just going to be at your house. Call up a buddy, say, come over, let's get some pizza, some beer, whatever, and have some fun with it. Either way, I'll be back next week. We'll recap what happened on Sunday and plenty more. And so with all that, enjoy what is a little bit of a crispy fall weather feel for now. Let's hope it lasts. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.